Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining in to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Appreciate everybody tuning in wherever that's at. Stitcher, iTunes, those are the two best places. Probably iTunes is the most popular. And remember, subscribe there. You get the podcast as soon as they come out. And please rate and review the podcast. I always appreciate the feedback, and it helps a lot when it comes to the podcast. You can also go to BetweenTheRopes.com, get the audio there, or you could go to SoundCloud. Just go to SoundCloud.com/BetweenTheRopes. Find all the podcasts there. Coming up, my conversation with Drew Galloway, now with every promotion in the world except WWE. I think that's the way it's tagged. Oh, and NXT as well. So WWE and NXT, he's not there, but he is everywhere else. Drew is keeping very, very busy, and you get to hear my conversation with him. I caught up with Drew over the weekend, this past weekend on Saturday. He was in town for the Evolve shows, and I was able to coerce him to come and meet me and sit down for the podcast, talking for, I think it was like 40, 45 minutes. So great catching up with him. I've actually known Drew for a long time. I first got to speak with him when he was with Florida Championship Wrestling, and it was before he got brought up to the main WWE roster. So he's wrestling in FCW, and I was asked one time by a guy that worked in their PR department if I'd like to have him on the radio show when I was doing the weekly radio show, and I said, of course, sure, I know about this guy. Had him on, he was great, and I've bumped into him every now and then since then, and I was able to get him to meet me for the podcast. So it was great sitting down with him and seeing where he is at right now in his career, which is really a good spot for him. Because even though he's not with WWE, I mean, it's great if you're there. But if you're not, I mean, there's still plenty of places that you can work and plenty of things that you can do. And I think that Drew has really reinvented himself since he left that company. And I think he's very, very happy with what he is doing right now. So glad I was able to catch up with him. By the way, hope everybody likes the format of the podcast now. You guys gave me the feedback I wanted to hear when I threw it out there about how to do the podcast. Should I do one super long podcast each week with the goal of having one media member and one interview on there with a wrestler or somebody else in the wrestling business? And everybody said, we want two podcasts, you know, split them up into two. So that's what we're doing. So Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joined me yesterday. If you haven't listened to that podcast, check it out as we talk about the Rumble. We talk about Raw from Monday night. We talk about AJ Styles' debut at WWE and that whole statement that TNA put out about him. Plus, we look ahead to WrestleMania and kind of some thoughts about how we think that is shaping up right now. And then next week, I have a couple of other guys coming up. I'm still working that out. I think I could throw this out there now, but the person I'm going to be interviewing next week, the non-media person, is going to be the Hall of Famer, Jim Ross. So Jim is now doing the New Japan Pro Wrestling play-by-play for Access TV. He's got his one-man shows coming up. He's got three of them going on in Dallas WrestleMania weekend. Always great catching up with Jim, so be on the lookout for that next week. But it's this week, and that means you get to hear my conversation with Drew Galloway. Let's get to it. So we're here in Orlando. I'm in the studio. Brian Fritz, Drew Galloway.
Hello.
So I don't even know who to introduce you with because you're working with so many different companies now. So it's TNA.
Yep.
It's Evolve.
Yep.
Insane Championship Wrestling.
Yep.
PWG.
Yep.
What am I missing?
I'm going to leave somebody out, and they're going to be very upset and text me crying.
They should be.
Let's see. In Scotland, we've got British Championship Wrestling. England, we've got Southside and Preston City Wrestling. They're doing awesome right now. I don't know. They also are tied with the Ring of Honor. So in a way, I'm kind of bringing all the companies together.
Yeah.
And we've always got that NXT kind of partnership going, and PCW's got the ROH kind of deal going. Rev Pro in England are doing great. I work with them. They've got the New Japan thing going. God, I think I'm becoming Mr. Wrestler this year. I'm going to tie the companies together. I'm going to unite the clans and just create a super company.
It's like the Game of Thrones going on over here with you, man.
And I look like one of them as well.
Yeah, you do now, man, because, I mean, you got the beard going and everything.
Again, the funny accent. A little falling out of 300.
Is that what people are still saying? It's a funny accent?
Well, no, no. In America, they still like, oh, the accent, where are you from? Scotland. And then I go back home to Scotland and they hear the American twang and they rip me to shreds.
I'll bet.
Which is annoying when I get home. But unfortunately, I need everyone to understand me because when I first got here, nobody understood a word I bloody said.
Do you find now that you have people here say, oh, you're from Scotland, and they think, oh, you're a wrestler, so you're just doing an accent. You know, that's not how you really talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember one particular time John Morrison and I were doing a promo and he dressed up as Braveheart and came out with a kilt on and had the sword and everything and put on his amusing Scottish accent, let's say, and had a bunch of messages and tweets and whatever and people in real life coming up to me saying, oh, Morrison does a way better Scottish impression than Drew. Couldn't we have got somebody with a better Scottish accent? This is obviously so fake. I'm like, yeah, well, however I talk is a Scottish accent, and the best Scottish accent, because I'm actually Scottish.
No matter
how it sounds.
You are representing Scotland here around the world.
I am. Everywhere. I've not been traveling that much recently. I kind of know where I'm at right now. And I've had like a week and a half in total off in the past month. So that's been weird.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're traveling so much. So what's a regular schedule for you now? Because I think you're on the road more now than you ever have been before.
I mean, last year it got a bit wild at times where I'd be jumping from TV here to like ICW in Scotland and then to England, then jump to Australia, then jump from Australia back to America again. And yeah, that got a bit out of control at one point, and I started to question whether you could die from sleep deprivation and jet lag.
Well, like WrestleMania weekend last year, if I remember right, so I think you did a couple of the Evolve shows. And one was in the afternoon,
yep.
And you had to leave at a certain time so you could fly to Scotland. And as soon as you landed, I think you went straight to the building, straight to the ring, did a show, and then you did a couple more shows, and then I think you traveled someplace else in Europe.
Yep, that was the WrestleMania weekend, or Wrestle Weekends, I like to call it.
Yes.
It brings all the great companies together and all the fans together. And it was myself and Johnny Gargano and the Evolve versus the Dragon Gate title, uniting the titles. And fortunately, I went over on that match in the afternoon show and won both the belts and didn't have a second to enjoy the moment because I ran in my gear straight to the San Francisco airport, getting changed in the car. And quick, already checked in for my flight, so my bag was checked and ran through security with my bag full of gear and then jumped straight on the plane, flew to Scotland, got there at 6:30 p.m. The show started at 7, had to go through customs, had to get to the building, got to the building about 8 p.m. and went on about 9 p.m. and defended my belt there in front of 2,000 people, I believe. We sold out the Barrowlands, which is a historic Scottish venue, which was pretty cool. And yeah, I jumped straight to America right after that.
That's crazy, man.
It was a cool few days.
But what's the atmosphere like over there? Because, I mean, for you to go back, because, I mean, you obviously wrestled there before you came to America, and now going back, and what's the atmosphere like over there, especially for Insane Championship Wrestling, because they do great gates. I mean, you're talking a couple thousand people for these shows, and people seem to be really into it. What does that compare like compared to shows you do over here?
Oh, the crowd are amazing. Like, over here, the crowd are great. They're knowledgeable, and they really respect what we're doing. But the crowds back home, as well as being a lot of them at every show, they are loud and passionate. They're like, I've used this a million times, so if anyone's heard it, I'm just going to repeat it. And if they've not, check out a soccer match, like a football match back home, especially like a rivalry with Man United and Manchester City or Glasgow Rangers and Glasgow Celtic, when the crowd are going crazy. They've got their chants for every match. You've seen it when WWE have done shows.
Yeah.
Like Raw Live, back in the UK, or if they're doing the NXT special in London, that you see what the crowds are like. That's every show in the UK. There's like four, five companies that have got that every show. Like ICW's one of them, the PCW's one of them, the Southside's one of them, the RevPro's one of them, the Progress is one of them. And they're getting, on a regular basis every month, like 2,000 people. Myself and Grado just main evented a show in Scotland, which broke the British gate record since 1981, I want to say, like 34 years.
Wow.
Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks, like the largest money drawing event, was 34 years ago, and we broke that record in November just there, myself and Grado, for the ICW title, which was pretty cool. There was over 4,000 people there. Mick Foley was there as well, so that was a cool thing. And then, you know, he'd thought it was just another old gig, as he pointed out to us afterwards. I was like, man, I just thought it was coming for, you know, just, you know, I like to hang out. It's cool to see what the kids are up to. I thought it was just another gig, and he got here, I got to the show, and his mind was absolutely blown when he saw how wild and passionate 4,000 crazy drunken Scots can be.
Oh, I'll bet, man. So have you ever, because your schedule's been so hectic, have you ever gone to a show and forgot which show exactly you're at?
Not the show. I forgot which states I'm in. And it's the times, like, when I wake up in the morning, what country I'm in, and I jump out of bed thinking I've got to go somewhere. And, you know, my day's off, I'm waking up thinking, oh my God, what am I at today? Oh, day off, feel weird. And I get antsy, and I'll just sit there just twiddling my thumbs till I get back on the road again. So it's weird. It's fun, though. You know, yeah. It's all I wanted to do. And now, like, thanks to a lot of people providing me such opportunities, I actually get to, you know, live the dream the way I always imagined it. And I get to be involved with these great companies, wrestle these great wrestlers, and just, I don't know, live the life of Larry, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the cool thing. For somebody like you that wants to wrestle everywhere, and it's something you have a passion for, it's something that you're great at, to have all these different places that you can go, and it's around the world, and there's different styles, and there's so many different guys that you can, you know, get in the ring with, that's something that, you know, in the past necessarily wasn't around, and now there's just so many different places that are actually doing well. I know some places or some people have talked about, you know, how are the indies doing, but they're actually doing pretty good, especially if you travel the world.
Yeah, they're doing incredible. Like, for me, I've been wrestling 15 years, and I wrestled 6 before I got signed to WWE, and there wasn't much going on at all. And then when I was initially released, I knew there was a few places that were doing well, especially ICW in Scotland. That summer, I wanted to go in the first place I went to. But when I started traveling around and just seeing talent level and how good everybody was now and how well the shows were doing, how many different places there was to work, it's just a really exciting time to be involved in professional wrestling, because it's as healthy as I've ever seen it in my 15 years.
How much different of a wrestler are you now from even just a couple of years ago after you left WWE?
I'd say fairly different. Then you can't help but, you know, change your game and improve when you're just wrestling that many matches and the length of matches that I tend to do, like 20 to 30 minutes every night, that's how you get better. Like I tell everyone when I do seminars at wrestling schools, or whatever, just, you know, learn your basics here, you know, learn about respect and etiquette and everything else you have to learn from the wrestling school, but you really start learning when you get on the road and start doing matches.
Yeah.
And every match you pick up something new. So, yeah, I'd say I've definitely improved. My cardio's gotten better, that's for one.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It was my first match with Hero when I won the Evolve belt. I thought I was going to have a freaking heart attack, and I tore my hamstring in about 5 minutes into the match.
That's true. I remember that because you had like a bruise literally from your ass down your knee, I think.
Yeah, the back of my leg. Yeah. Yeah, tore it pretty good and then taped it up and kept going. That's the way I was taught. The show must go on.
Did you have a match the next night too?
Yep. I had a match the next night. I can't even remember who I wrestled the next night. But yeah, I had a match the next night, and then I had a match the following night with Ricochet.
Yeah, you did. I remember that one.
Yeah, so that was a fun weekend. So the guys attacked that leg.
I was going to say,
you
say it's fun, but I'm sitting there looking at that bruise going, I couldn't even walk with that, and you're wrestling with that, and you're letting people go to town on it too. So
It's not ballet.
I know, but still.
You know, the way I wrestle. So I'm not wrestling for the kids or for the ones that want to be there. I'm wrestling for the dads that don't want to be there, have been forced to be there, the boyfriends or the girlfriends that are forced to be in there and don't want to be there. Like, oh, this fake wrestling. So when I come out there and do my thing, they're going to leave going, well, actually, I don't know that Galloway when he was hitting the guy and the marks were appearing on the guy and the guy was hitting him and the marks were appearing on them and it was no stomping of the feet during punches or anything.
Right.
You know, that looks
strong style, athletic.
I'm doing the air quotes right now, fake, because the way I put it is, and like hopefully anyone new to the business can take something from this, is the fans that don't like it give you the answers. It's like going to a test, the professor giving you the answers and you not taking them and ripping them up and throwing them. If you just open your ears and don't get angry, everybody says it's fake, and just listen to why they don't like it. If somebody says, God, I watched this wrestling match and this guy had an armbar on, I've seen Ronda Rousey tap out every single person in 2 seconds with an armbar, and you're lying in it and reaching for the ropes going, oh, brother, oh, try to get the ropes while you're lying in a legit move, you're an idiot. Like, the fans give you the answers, just open your ears and think, well, it's a sophisticated audience to watch UFC, maybe I shouldn't do a real hold.
Like, yeah.
It's really simple when you think about it.
I was going to say, what's the interaction with, like, with the fans? Because especially with the groups that you work with, I mean, you're talking about the smartest of the smart fans that you're working in front of.
yeah, they've been great. Like initially, I think it was a case of, all right, well, some of them knew I'd wrestled the indies prior to WWE, and some of them had seen like some of my work, I guess, on the Intercontinental title run kind of time. But obviously, I was wrestling a particular style for the character, and maybe the Superstars matches, there was a few good ones there. But everybody would be like, all right, well, this is kind of weird. It's usually like the kind of smaller guys who are like awesome technical wrestlers, awesome flyers. It's not usually like bigger guys on the show. Like, oh, here's one of these WWE guys. And then hopefully once they got to see me go, like they know I can, you know, hang with a few different styles.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing, I think, in being able to go out and you know, work the places you at. It's not like getting to work with so many different guys and sizes, but you get to go out there and do a lot of different things. Like on one night you could be a little bit of a high flyer. Another night you could do strong style. I mean, there's so many different styles that you can play with on each and every night that you can go out there and you can have fun. And I would think that probably keeps you a lot more engaged to what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the fun thing. Like now, everybody's not wrestling the same style. Whatever. Before I came to America, everybody wrestled the same. Like myself and Sheamus would like wrestle each other all the time. We were the main feud in Europe, and we'd record our matches and watch them and try to be different and emulate matches we watched on tape together or whatever. But everybody was wrestling so similar. Like now, when I go out there, just everybody like has developed their own styles, which is cool. Like every match I wrestle with the guys, like in the UK, are the top guys in America, and I'm lucky all the companies I work for like generally have like the guys who are the top workers in the world right now, the top in their field or their style of wrestling. And it's awesome. Like it's the Evolve is like the smorgasbord of all the top different like styles and the best guys at it. And like the Thatchers and Gulaks are the technical style, and you've got the Ricochet and the Zack Sabre Jr. can't leave him out. And the Ricochets of the high flying style, and you've got the Brawlers and just everything you can possibly think of. Like Evolve top to bottom has somebody who does that style to absolute perfection.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to work with all those different guys, and like Roderick Strong, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You guys had, that was incredible.
That was fun. We battled each other, but he is absolutely awesome.
Because Roderick, I mean, he will, you know, dish it out as much as he will take it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is just, hey, let's go out there and let's just beat the hell out of each other and let's do our thing. And it's, some of the stuff is, I mean, the two of you guys worked so well together. Did you feel like an instant chemistry when you guys got in the ring together?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I remember the first match we had, we were on third. We really didn't get much time to interact with each other prior to the match, and we never really met each other before. So, like, I'm sure he was, like, I know he was now. Like, oh, here we go. Like, Trent Barrett, I think, had put me over. Like, oh, trust me, this guy can go. And he's like, okay, we'll see what happens. We talked as much as we could, but we're on like third, so basically just went out there and just went for it. We just said, let's fight and see what happens, and we did. And like you say, just the chemistry was there. It was just back and forth, mayhem, and then the story we ended up telling felt perfect, and the near falls came off amazing, and the crowd were so into it. It was in New York. It's on YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. Just type Drew Galloway versus Roderick Strong Evolve. And Gabe was so impressed, Gabe Sapolsky, that he sent Roderick back out with the title to hit me afterwards, which wasn't part of the plan. And that's where the feud started from, just because the match went so well and the chemistry was there. And we ended up having a great series of matches. And on February 12th, we're fighting for the PWG title in Reseda, which is going to be fun if I've not worked in a while.
I was going to say, do you feel an extra kind of pressure because you guys, the great matches you've already had? And obviously, as much as the Evolve crowd is, I mean, that PWG crowd is extremely demanding right now.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of like my favorite moments in the past. I don't know how long it's been. I've been on the indies now. A year and 8 months, maybe?
Yeah.
I've been going from WWE. But yeah, the first match was Speedball Bailey. And afterwards, the match went really well, and the crowd's chat gave the "please come back," which is like in PWG world, if they chant that, you use the, you know, the thumbs up. If you're in the Roman Coliseum,
sure.
You get that thumbs up, or just get the thumbs down and lop your head off, you won't be back. It's the thumbs up from the crowd, and I came back again the next night and had the sweet slow motion spot in the tag match. If you want to know what I'm talking about, just Google on YouTube PWG slow motion spot. And myself and Jack Evans in the last show, that man is made of rubber. No matter how many ways I threw him and how many ways he landed, he just kept coming.
It's crazy.
And then myself and Roddy in the next one, which I'm excited about, and I guarantee everybody it's going to be there. It's sold out already, so if you got your ticket, you're very lucky. Like, it's going to be in. Be a spectacle, I promise that.
I think the tickets for PWG are probably the most in-demand tickets anywhere because they're smart about it in that they're in a building that holds 400 or 500 people, but they could sell more tickets. But, yeah. But there's like, you know what? This is our home. We want to keep the...
Yeah, that's a cool thing, and that's what makes it cool and unique, is they don't go into a bigger place and keep it like that. I was in Kansas City a couple of days ago, like I'm buddies with Adam Jones, a guitar player for Tool. So we flew out there to go see them in concert, and I was talking to him, and him and his wife, Corinne, go to all the shows. And I was mentioned to him about going to the show, and then he made mention of trying to get tickets. And I was like, what?
You can't.
I said, mate, you're in one of the biggest bands in the world. Can't you just get tickets? He went, no. I went, what? And I mentioned it to like Chris here, and he was like, yeah, man. Like, everybody's trying to get tickets. I was like, Sofia Vergara, the show she was at, was she buddy begging to get in at the door? He's a problem.
Right. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, Ronda Rousey was at a couple of these shows. Yeah. So, I mean.
Just like, chapping in the back door, begging buddy Danny for tickets.
Probably just go in the back door, go, I'll just stand back here. Just let me peek through the curtain at this point.
Yeah, but that's how in demand it is. Like, people, even celebrities, are struggling to get tickets.
Especially for when it's BOA, when it's Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they do three shows. I remember people last year going, you know, tickets went on sale, and then 2 minutes they were like selling out. And they're like, "I only got for the Saturday show, and I couldn't get for the other nights or whatever." You know, so I mean, just they go on sale, and they, I mean, just get gobbled up so quickly. I mean, everybody's just furious about it, trying to get tickets. That's got to be, to me, that's the hottest ticket going anywhere.
Oh yeah,
I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fact.
It's crazy.
It sells out in like 2 minutes every single time.
You're talking about the lead singer of one of the biggest bands in the world, Tool, and he can't get in.
Yeah, it's...
You know, he can't get in, Sofia Vergara can't get in, which is funny that I think people already are laughing already going, well, she's a big wrestling fan. You're like, yeah, she is.
Yeah, she was really at the show prior to BOA, because I got there and I was like, I heard she was, like, the last one, she's going to be at this one. Like, well, we don't know. I was peering through the curtain every 2 seconds, like, man, part of my match revolves around the idea of her being here, because I'm going to fly into her lap.
Yes.
Peering out, because it's going to change the dynamic in my match if she's not here. And she wasn't there.
Oh, man.
No. Oh, well. Let's wait till she breaks up with that one huge jet guy.
Well, who cares if she breaks up with him or not? You still got to do the spot. I mean, she's going to be there. You got to take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
find him.
Have you ever done that before? Or how many times have you done that where there's been, like, a celebrity that's in the crowd and you make sure that you do something in front of them just to get the extra attention?
Not really. But I watch the guys that do it. It's more of the guy, the Joey Ryans and stuff. It's more entertaining when... Yeah. Someone like that would like,
I was going to say, you mentioned Joey. What do you make of what's going on with him right now?
Awesome.
The power of the penis.
Cracks me up. His wang is over.
It is. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
For years, and then suddenly just the wildest things that get your attention, the attention of the world.
Well, I love the dynamic, too, that you're talking about. Like, when I go out there, I want people to know how athletic it is, and we're really going at it and everything. And then you got Joey Ryan, who's like the polar opposite, but it's working for what, you know, he's doing for that spot. It's just the most outrageous, crazy thing that you could imagine. And now it's become a huge thing in wrestling, you know?
It's the things that get over is the things you least expect.
I'm just saying figuratively. I'm not saying literally. I have no information, okay? I'm talking.
it's different.
So when you work for Evolve or you work for PWG, do you feel like that's different or, you know, if it is different, how is it different from when you're doing stuff with TNA?
Well, it's not obviously TV. So you've got to be, obviously you're concerned about times there. You can't wrestle for like 40 minutes or 2 minutes. But you've got certain times to stick to on TV. You've got storylines generally that you've got to work into your match, into the story of the match, etc. It's a different world. You're working playing for the cameras, even though you should be playing for the cameras at those shows because they do go online, like the iPay-per-views or on the floor cams, whatever, for the DVDs. You got to play to everything. But on TV, it's a priority to make sure you get the right shots you want to get to tell the story and get your face on TV. As Vince would always say, you know, that's your money, is your face. So make sure you get on TV as much as possible.
Is that something you have to think about for a show? Because it is different from just... When it's PWG or Evolve, it's not for TV, but for obviously for TNA it is, and there's so many other little aspects that go into it, like make sure you're looking at the camera here or you're playing up here. You know, is that something you have to kind of think about even going into a show just to make sure because you're doing so many different shows all over the place?
Nah, not really. I've done it for a while now, but if it's a particular angle or something you just want to get over or convey, that's something you would plan.
Yeah.
That would generally be at like TV, TNA or whatever. We've got one coming up. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. We're going to start a new angle. And we just wanted to make sure we got the right shots there. So we did go over a little bit, and it came off really good, and it's going to be a cool feud. So I won't spoil it for anybody, so you can read it online.
Yeah. We don't do spoilers here, man. So how'd you like working with Kurt?
I was all right. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
How long have you been wanting that match?
Like since before I started training when I was 15.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It's like the guys like, you know, Brett and Buddy Eddie's and Jericho's and Benoit's and Kurt's are the kind of guys that were my favorite wrestlers. Like I was always big on the, you know, solid workers. Even as a kid, like I didn't realize why I liked Brett so much over Hogan when I was a kid. And as I got older, I started to realize because he told such a, you know, interesting story. Like, as a kid, you read storybooks and stuff, and even though Hogan was big and colorful, which drew a lot of people in, I was more interested in, ooh, the story over here. It's like reading a book, but with wrestling, which I love. As I got older, I started to realize that, and that's the guys I was more, you know, drawn to. And,
yeah.
Like, Angle was just an absolute freak, superhuman athlete and entertaining as well. And I was like, man, I'm finally going to get a chance of the match. One of the reasons when I committed to TNA, I was like, man, I'm going to get the chance to work with Kurt Angle. This is so cool. And then suddenly he was announced retirement. I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to get a chance to work with Kurt Angle. This freaking sucks. And then, I got to the TV one day, and it was like, all right, shooting Kurt. I was like, yeah, cool. Just real casual like this.
Just trying to be
just,
cool.
Just a normal thing, wrestling Kurt Angle.
You just go around the corner behind one of the trailers. You're like, yes!
Yeah, and then he's coming up to me just saying, I want this match to be good, Drew. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Kurt Angle. I want this match to be good. And suddenly it's Kurt all the other time, but then when we're wrestling each other, it's suddenly, okay, Kurt Angle. I will do that.
And the good thing is, you get to have another match with them.
I do.
29th
next
in Manchester?
Friday, this Friday.
Yeah.
Friday coming. What day is it today? Saturday. Yep, we've got Evolve tonight, before we forget. Evolve in Orlando tonight, Evolve in Orlando tomorrow at 2 p.m. We've got the tag title tournament, me and Johnny Gargano.
Yep.
We'll talk about that later. But yes, this coming Friday in Manchester, I leave to the UK on Monday or Tuesday. And yep, myself and Angle in Manchester, part two. Last time I nearly died, I get thrown into a barricade. Let's see what I do this time.
Yeah, don't die.
I can't guarantee anything, I'm a madman.
You're gonna try to squeeze as much time for that match as you can.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm going to bloody be bugging them for an hour, so they give me at least 40.
Yeah, exactly. And Kurt, I don't care what anybody says, Kurt would be all for it.
Oh, yeah. He's a machine. Like, you can just tell when you're in the ring with some guys, just they could just go all day, like bloody Energizer bunnies. Like, Roderick Strong's one of them. And, like, Kurt was exactly the same. And for, like, a guy that wrestles as little as he wrestles now.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. The guy's a freaking animal.
Like, and he's been beat up so many different times.
I couldn't believe like some of the spots we were doing and the way I was hitting him. I wasn't holding back. I was hitting him the way I hit everybody and throwing him the way I throw everybody. And he was doing all his usual things, not missing a beat. And it came off awesome. I was just, afterwards, I was sitting there, I remember in the locker room, I think I've used in a promo, I don't know if it's been on TV yet, where I was just, this might sound redundant, but Kurt Angle's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was blown away when I was sitting there just like shaking my head like, wow, that was pretty cool.
There is no second gear with Kurt. It's always, you know, 100% full force, go at it. You know, he's not going to be in the ring. It's funny, you've heard so many different times like, oh, Kurt's going out there. He's got a torn ACL, but he's going to have the match.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't have knee supports on or anything. He just wears regular knee pads, like no, you know, nothing on his neck.
It's nuts. And
just walks out there, no wrist tape.
Yeah.
Strolling around like nothing's wrong, no limp or anything. I've seen a million guys like backstage, like the older guys with bad limps and stuff. When they hit the ring, they can move around perfect. But Kurt walking backstage just looks like he's fine.
Yeah.
The guy's an absolute machine.
So how have you liked your stint with TNA so far? And now they've got the new TV deal with Pop, and ratings are slowly but surely going up.
Yes, they are. They're just going to keep going up.
That's the Drew factor, I guess.
What's that?
That's the Drew factor, right?
Of course. Of course. Of course. it's everybody factor. Everyone's working their ass off.
Yeah.
That's like the coolest thing about the locker room. Just everybody's just in it to win it. Like, no matter what's going on or what crap's been talked here or there, which seems to be diminishing now that people are actually giving it a chance and watching it, because everybody is busting their ass to have the best matches possible. And like, I like the storylines going on that I've seen, and I'm not sure if it's debuted yet, but there's the new faction with Abyss and Crazy Steve, the Decay factions that been on TV yet?
That one hasn't been on TV yet.
Keep your eyes peeled for that. Like,
yeah, that's coming.
So Billy's got them some cool music, Billy Corgan. So I don't want to spoil that, but be watching out for that tag team. They're really cool, and the beer money's back, so the tag division's back on fire again. Suddenly there's all these great teams. We have a tag division. The singles division was already strong.
Yeah.
The knockouts division is always awesome, so things are looking good.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I like that it feels like it's been stripped down a little bit, and that just... Let's go a lot simpler with storylines, and that's going to get the most emotion. And I think you're seeing that a lot with like what Matt Hardy's been doing, you know, in the quest for the world title, and now he's the champion. And it just, it's more basic stuff. It's kind of stripped down, but I mean, I just think you get a lot more out of that. It's not confusing to the consumer, and go out there and we get to watch it, and everything makes sense, and you're like, cool, this is wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling. Just keep it simple.
That's all it needs to be.
Yeah, if someone tunes in for the first time, you don't want it to be some over intricate bloody Walking Dead storyline where you have to be following and know everybody. It's like simple enough that you get the idea what's going on, and then if you keep watching, you understand more. But you want everyone to understand what the heck's going on, not with these overcomplicated storylines.
Yeah,
wrestling.
Yeah,
basics. It's the simplest way.
How do you like the TV taping schedule though for TNA? How taxing is that? Because I guess you guys did the last one. I think it was what, 6 tapings over like 7 days or something like that.
5 days in a row.
Five days in a row, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I like it. It's obviously physically taxing and mentally
taxing. You might be
taxing.
One of the fuel guys that like it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it just allows me to do everything else I do. I wouldn't be doing all these other companies and, you know, expanding my brand. And the more I expand my brand, the more it helps the companies I work for. Because the bigger I get and I work for them, the bigger hopefully they get in turn. That's the way I look at it anyway. And it allows me to, you know, do what I want to do, which is get out there and wrestle and do as much as I can and bring all the companies together.
Does it feel weird for you now that you're 30 years old, and you've been wrestling for 15 years.
Yeah.
You've been wrestling for half your life now.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I feel about 100 years old. Nah, I actually feel pretty good. But yeah, it's pretty wild. Occasionally, I'll just sit and think, man, that's wild. I mean, I'm glad I started so young because it's all I wanted to do. And I hear people say that. It's like, it's all I wanted to do. And like, when did you start? I was 25. Well, it's not really all you wanted to do, because if you wanted to do it, you would just do it.
Right.
When I was 50, like 10, I was like, I'm doing this. And then I found schools. Mom wouldn't let me go because I was like 11. When I finally found a few schools, and then finally, of annoying, she finally let me go when I was like just turned 15 for a 12-hour train journey, me and my buddy, for some personal training. And then stayed there for like 2 weeks. And then he quit because we chopped him to death. It was his birthday when we were down there. And then I kept going the 12-hour journeys because it was the only school. There was nothing in Scotland at the time. And
wow.
The way I look at it is, if you actually want to do something, you're going to bloody do it and not take no for an answer.
Yeah. Was it tough to get a school to take you in considering your age?
No. Like, most schools will do like 15, 16. Like, some are 16, but
yeah.
I've heard of some doing like 12, 13. I think that's a bit young. But
because here it's a little bit different. I mean, I think it's different now than, I mean, go back 20 years ago and maybe you'd be fine with it, you know, but it's a little bit different, I think, over there than it is here. Because I think now there's a lot of schools now that say, well, you know, you got to be 18, or you got to be closer to that, you know?
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, there's different legal reasons and different whatever. Yeah. And
I mean, I'd say 16.
Right.
You can work. They recommend working out at 16 because you're pretty much fully grown. I mean, I was younger when I started working out, but yeah. I'd say 16 is a...
I've heard plenty of stories, too, where guys are, you know, kind of, you know, fibbing on their age a little bit, too, but got to do what you got to do to get in.
Oh, yeah. When I first got to the FCW, I remember I was 22. I got to America and OVW and was on TV briefly and was on the road for 6 months, and I was 22 the whole time. I just turned 22 and then moved to FCW. I was still 22. My birthday coming up, and I was just hiding my age. I did not want anybody to know my age.
Right.
Because if they start calling me kid or whatever, I'll quickly try and get over with my wrestling or whatever. And by the time that my birthday came around, I'd shown everyone what I could do. So when I turned 23, they were like, what? You're 23? I thought you were like friggin' 30.
Was it culture shock, though, to go? So you're living over in Scotland, and then you get signed. And next thing you know, you're living in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. What do you think? Bloody Scotland's got like 5 million people and it's got hills and stuff. I mean, like where I live and where I went to university in Glasgow is like the, you know, the modern area. It's not like all hills and kilts and haggis. It's
sure.
I mean, we've got everything every other country has. So pretty modern. Watch a lot of American TV.
Is that what everybody thinks? Is that you just live out? You live in some castle that barely has electricity. You have to go back to pump your water.
When I talk to people, pretty much. That's what a lot of people think. But yeah, I mean, it was an industrial area I stayed in. So, and I'd obviously been to like England and around Europe and stuff. But going to Louisville is a little bit different. When, you know, like Louisville itself, you know, it's a nice place. But when you start going to these smaller towns around it, not there's anything wrong with it. Everybody's lovely. But, you know, when you...
It's a
young
culture.
Kid, and you've seen Deliverance.
Yes, exactly, in Kentucky.
Yeah, and the first gas station you go into, there's a guy in front of you with overalls, and he weighs about 350 pounds, and he's got no shirt on. And
he's got two teeth.
Hairy, yeah. And the other guy, like you see in the gas station, has got like a baseball cap with like a straw ponytail coming out gray. And
No hair on the top, just on the back.
Like literally every stereotype you can think of. Just walking around a gas station, I'm looking around and then like asking like Paul Burchill, like, what's going on here? He's like, oh, no, it's okay, buddy, it's okay. Don't worry. Like, don't worry, I'm freaking worried. And animal heads on the wall of restaurants when you're eating said animal and you're looking at it at the same time. Like, what's wrong with these people? When you look at what you're eating, it's just like legit heads staring at you. Like, there's so many stories, but it takes so long to tell them. But yeah, there's a few culture shocks.
Yeah, I'll bet. Tampa, a little bit more your
group
now?
Yeah, Tampa, like, slugged right in there. Like, me and Wade were in Louisville, but, like, Seamus was in FCW. So he was like, oh, yeah, it's great here. Love it. He'd already been to America a couple of times, like Boston and whatnot. He's a little bit older. Way older. But he was saying once you get here, it'll be grand. And I was on the road, so I was going to different states and seeing.
Right,
you
know, you're seeing
normal, but I wasn't really going out or anything. Like I said, maybe a couple of like beer nights, or whatever. But I was so bloody terrified of everything.
I'll bet.
And then when I went to FCW, and I was back with like Seamus again, kind of showing me the ropes there and meeting the locals of Tampa, seeing the sights of Tampa was a bit.
It's a little bit better.
Yeah, slotted in a bit easier there.
A little bit better. So, and I know you guys, you've been friends with Seamus for a long period of time, and you mentioned, you know, working with him a lot before you got to the States. Was it the same with you and Wade?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Faction and the one TV show in Ireland. It was the only show in Europe, Irish Whip Wrestling. And myself and Seamus was the big feud, and I built a faction, and Wade was like my Arn Anderson, my enforcer.
Yeah.
And he worked as an NXT Pierre French guy, not with the mustache, with the bald head.
Marcus
Louis.
Yes.
Himself and Wade were my heavies. Cause nice. I was like 18, 19. I looked like a little boy. So I was fighting with Sheamus. He was a giant compared to me at the time, like size wise, not like height wise. But yes, so I needed a couple of big guys, and they were my big guys.
But how bad did you guys beat the hell out of each other?
Oh, terribly. We get arrested if. It was like a fight in the streets. People wouldn't know what to do. Like no one could interfere until the SWAT team got there, probably. They just mauled each other. Probably done some crazy fire combo that he'd never tried before. We just punches, does a back fist. He'd never done a back fist in his life and just knocked me the fuck out.
Really?
Black eye.
So there you are.
I'm going to try this fury.
So there you are, right, knocked out from a back.
Oh, no, this was in the ring.
In the ring, at least.
Yeah. He's just describing it to me. I was like, no bother, spinning back fist, cool, mate. Bang. Oh, where am I? Why is everyone in my bedroom? Oh, I'm in a wrestling ring.
But that's the weird thing. It's like when you're friends with somebody, it's like, okay, let's really go at it. Let's.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, I hit everyone hard enough, I'm sure. If you ask anybody about my chops or whatever, they'll be like, oh, screw Drew's chops. But when me and Seamus are hitting each other, or me and Doreal's hitting each other, or Wade and I are hitting each other, and Wade hates it.
Do you have guys come to you and say, no chop rule?
No,
for tonight?
God, no. Okay. No, nobody's going to say that. They just shake their head and go, screw you.
Well, I know some other guys in the past that have done that. Or they would do it, it'd be like, there has to be a certain number of people in attendance before chops come into play.
Oh, hell no. If I hear that, I'll just chop 10, 50 times in a row.
Exactly. That's what you do, man. Just back them into the corner. You won't let them out and start chopping, man.
I mean, I talk about, you know, what looks real. Like, I mean, I guess I'd chop. Who would chop? But then again, it's something you don't stomp your feet. You hear the noise. It leaves a mark.
Exactly.
So in theory, within the confines of pro wrestling, that's as real as I can make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we're still going to bounce off ropes. It's not like you're going to shit somebody. There's another lesson for the aspiring wrestlers out there. Like, I've used this before. I think Fighting Spirit printed it. This is the Drew analogy, if anyone else steals it. Is if you're in a bar, and you're with your girl, and you go to the toilet, and you come back, and somebody's, I don't know how PG this show is. Like,
nah, you're good.
Finger blasting your girl. You're not going to go, you dirty son of a gun, and shoot him off a wall and big boot him and moonsault off a bar onto him. You're going to punch him in his face and kick the crap out of him. Like, people understand punches and kicks. And
yeah.
I watch some of these matches. They're so concerned about their leapfrogs and whatever they do. They throw crappy like punches and kicks. And that's the one thing that people can understand. People don't understand moonsaults and 450s and all those sweet moves. They understand punches and kicks and strikes because that's all they have done to people or had done to them. I mean, some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, like one or two of them. But that's all that anyone can ever comprehend.
But I mean, that's what people really do in fights. And that's the thing. It's not always just going to be wrestling matches. Sometimes you want it to be fights, you know?
And that's the way I look at it. Like, the more realism is going to get the most attention because people can relate to it. Like,
yeah.
It's cool watching a spectacle and cool watching a car crash match. You know, you need different matches. You need a variety. But for me, and the style I like is just as realistic as possible.
Yeah, and when you go to ICW, you guys are fighting in the streets, literally over there.
Yeah.
You did
that
a couple of times.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times. And Rhino and I were fighting in the streets. Got in the national newspaper.
Yeah, saw that.
The streets of Glasgow.
Good job.
Yeah, I think he got a bit of a shock when I chalked him as well.
Were you surprised how much attention that got?
I was. I remember the promoter mentioned to me, you know, it's up to you what you do. Rhino's up for anything. And I was like, whatever we want to do. He was like, yeah. And all the time he's like, you want to fight outside with some reporter here? So sure enough, we went down the stairs into the street. The crowd followed us. And just the passerbys were just like, why is there two guys in tights? And everyone's surrounding them like some kind of fight club and the cops aren't doing anything.
That's the best though, man.
Oh, it's amazing. You see, there's a video of it. It's like so cool.
Have you ever done that in the street where somebody didn't know what was going on and tried to break it up? Like, why are these two guys fighting?
Nobody tried to break it up. I've had some of the other guys, the cops were called when they were fighting in the street one time. I got one of the guys picked up another guy, wrestler Wolfgang, launched a wrestler called Kid Fight and ICW into a moving bus. The cops were called.
To a moving bus?
Yeah, so thankfully, I think the cop was a fan of the company. ICW gets a lot of attention in Glasgow. It's part of the culture there. So I think we got away with it that time. But yeah. It gets a little bit crazy at times.
That is crazy. A moving bus.
Yeah. Just people on the bus. Why is there people in their underwear throwing people at buses like darts?
See, but that's where it gets really fun, though, man, right there.
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
Like that, when you can tell those kind of stories that you had those experiences.
Yeah, that's what makes the wrestling so cool right now. There's all these different styles going on out there. WWE, you know what you're getting when you watch it. It's the more PG family friendly. And at WWE, it's not the wrestler. It's the company. It's the brand name. And then you've got the TNA, we've got all the guys that are a few established names, a few guys that have been around for a bit, and a few new guys. Everyone, you know, is good at what they do, and we get the time to have our matches. The Ring of Honor is the same, it's more based around the awesome workers. And you get the Lucha Underground with the Lucha style and the amazing production, storylines, etc. And the NXT is on fire right now. It's just there's so much variety right now, and then all the indie companies like the ICWs and stuff have got their unique style, which is getting so much attention online because it's different from everything else. So everyone's trying to be different now rather than try to be a second-rate WWE, which makes it cool.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's something for everybody now, and as we wrap up here, I think the great thing is there is something for everybody. So for somebody like you that wants to travel and you want to work all the time, I mean, it shows that I can go do this all over the place, and you're having a lot of fun with it, and you're just like, you know what? I know you said you want to maybe scale back a little bit, but you're like, I just want to go.
Lies. I'm just lying to myself.
I know.
I keep saying that, just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to slow down. But
and then the next thing you know, somebody else calls.
Oh,
and you're
yeah.
like, you know what? Yep, I can make that work, you know?
Yeah. If it's somewhere, as I say, I've been real lucky in the beginning. I refused to kind of take all the shows with the former WWE guys and the family shows that didn't get any attention online or whatever. I was like, nah, I want to work with the best guys. I want to be with those buzz.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to reinvent myself as quick as possible. I had a business plan in my head, and I'm very lucky it worked out times a thousand. But that's just simply because people believed in me and gave me a shot, and people spoke up for me to the promoters to give me that shot.
And I think that was one of the good things, because I know some people, or maybe some people from the outside, like fans, will think, oh, I'm not with WWE anymore. What am I going to do? And for you, it was just like, now I've got all these different opportunities. It's not going to be what was me. It's just, I'm going to pick myself up, and I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to work. I'm going to show what I can do and reinvent myself.
Yeah, and if you can wrestle and, know who you are and what you can do, the sky's the limit. Obviously, WWE gives you that name, and you can either go away and just try to live off it for the next year or two and know who you were, whatever character you were, running around playing air guitar and all these shows and whatever that will never get picked up.
I couldn't imagine you doing that on one of these shows.
No.
I can barely imagine you doing it while you were there.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, it was a laugh, but it's just, for now, I'm still young, and I've got all this wrestling in my system, and I get so creative and so many ideas in my head, I have to have an outlet for it. That's why I lose my mind sometimes, if I don't have a creative outlet. Right now, I'm just, every left and right, get to do whatever I have in my head, I can put out there in all these different companies, and the bad guy in Scotland, good guy in TNA, and tweener most other places. I'm the only good guy that slaps baby faces, heels across the face and headbutts them.
You love it, though.
Oh, yeah.
You love it.
Oh, yeah. I have the time of my life right now.
But you're killing it, man. Just keep doing it.
Thank you, brother.
You're doing great. Everybody can follow you on Twitter. So what is now? It's Galloway Speaks?
Galloway Speaks on Twitter.
Follow you there, because if anybody wants to keep up with all the different places that you're working, that's about the only place they can do it.
Oh, no. Well, I've got a couple other ones that I'm actually trying to
get
going now. The Facebook is crap, what is the Facebook? Galloway 1314, I believe it is.
Okay.
And
do you have Instagram yet?
I do. It just got set up. It got set up a while ago, but it just got started like yesterday.
Oh, really?
So Instagram is Drew Galloway 1985.
Man. They're all in different places, though. We got to do all this trying to keep up with you.
I know. I'm trying to keep up with the sweet social media since everybody's on Instagram now, and I don't know how it works. I'm trying to figure it out. Apparently, it's about pictures, and you've got hashtag things. I put like a picture up a few months ago, and then everyone got on my ass about not hashtag, and I got pissed, so I just stopped. Just stuck to Twitter. I was like, took long enough to learn Twitter. WWE telling me, you got to get a Twitter, this is how it works. And I was like, right, I finally got it. Okay, you need a Facebook. It's like, no, you need an Instagram. No, it's too much technology.
It's all about hashtags, man.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. Hashtags. And then you got to come up with the hashtags thinking, okay, what's a cool hashtag I could put on this? Because you put a couple of the normal ones, and then you think of something else. And
Hashtag social outcast. That's a good one.
There you go.
Gonna put over my boys.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Brian.
Great catching up with Drew Galloway. He's a great guy, fantastic wrestler, and I know he's having a great time right now doing what he's doing, traveling the world, staying busy, and having fantastic, wonderful, incredible wrestling matches. He is a superb talent and an even better guy, so it's great to be able to talk to him for a few minutes. I always enjoy it. Hope you like the conversation as well. Quick reminder, please subscribe to the podcast, iTunes and Stitcher. Rate it, review it, do all of that stuff. You can check out BetweenTheRopes.com. You can also find all the audio, the podcast, on the SoundCloud page as well. And you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz. I'll be back next week with two more podcasts. Not sure exactly who the media member is going to be yet. I've got an idea, but can't say it yet. And I do know that the other interview, though, is going to be with the one and only Jim Ross. So be on the lookout for that. Talk to you next week.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.